This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. Hey there, and welcome in to another edition of This Day in Sports History. It's April 11th, and since the Masters gets underway today, let's take a look at two of the most dominating Masters performances. First, let's go back to 1965 when a 25-year-old Jack Nicklaus toyed with the Augusta National course for the first 2 days like a cat plays with a mouse, and then he pounced on the weekend to stride to a win for the ages. Nicklaus overpowered the golf course, hitting wedges and short irons into par 4 greens and reaching a lot of the par 5s in 2. 63-year-old golfing legend Bobby Jones watched in amazement at how Nicklaus played his course, remarking at one point, "He plays a game with which I am not familiar." Coming into this tournament, the Arnold Palmer versus Nicklaus rivalry was in full swing. Palmer entered as the defending champ and the owner of 4 Masters green jackets. Nicklaus won 2 years prior. Add into the mix Gary Player, and this was a showcase for the big 3 of golf for the first 2 days. After Friday's round, Jack, Arnie, and Gary were tied for the lead, and at that point, with 15 golfers within 6 shots of the lead, it was anybody's tournament. But Nicklaus seized control with a scorching course record 8 under 64 in the third round. He birdied 5 of the first 8 holes, added 3 more on the back, and did not have a bogey as he separated himself from the pack. He led Player by 5 shots and Arnie by 6. And the way the Golden Bear was stalking the course, the only thing to decide on Sunday was how large his margin of victory was going to be. Nicklaus had a more pedestrian final round, firing a 3 under 69 to finish the tournament 17 under par and a 4-round total of 271. His 271 shots bested Ben Hogan's previous record at Augusta by 3 shots. And his 9-shot margin of victory over both Palmer and Player was also a new record. It was the 2nd of 6 Masters wins for Nicklaus. On this day in 1976, Raymond Floyd closed out his impressive Masters victory with the same 4-day total of 271 and an 8-shot margin of victory over Ben Crenshaw. Floyd's journey to 271 was a little bit different than Jack's 11 years before. Raymond came out of the gates firing at the pins. He carded a 7-under 65 on Thursday and followed that up with a 6-under 66 on Friday to take a 5-shot lead over, interestingly enough, Nicklaus. He put it in cruise control for the final 2 days, shooting 70 on Saturday and Sunday to lead wire to wire. And while Nicklaus used a scorching hot putter to set his mark in 65, Floyd overpowered the par 5s for 4 rounds, finishing 14 under with 12 birdies, an eagle, and 2 pars on the par 5s for the week. And that was more than good enough for Floyd to win his first and only green jacket. Also on this day, there were several firsts to celebrate. In 1966, after a 15-year stint in the minor leagues, Emmett Ashford became the first black umpire in Major League Baseball when he was the third base ump on opening day in Cleveland. Ashford didn't have an opportunity to make a call on this day, but it wasn't long until he made his mark. Ashford was known for his theatrical calls, but soon was noticed for how well he tracked fly balls and flares into the outfield. Frank Robinson said that Ashford got a better break on the ball than most of the major league outfielders. He earned the respect of players, managers, and even fans who enjoyed his exuberance making calls on the field. and since his debut in the majors was delayed, he only spent 5 years at the major league level, retiring at the age of 56. In 1989, Philadelphia Flyers goalie Ron Hextall scored an empty netter in the Flyers' Game 5 playoff series win against the Washington Capitals. Hextall's goal was the first ever scored by a goalie in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And in 2003, the Miami Heat retired the number 23 jersey of Michael Jordan. I'm going to let you run that through your brain for a second or two as you wonder, when did MJ play for the Heat? And the answer is, he didn't. It was Jordan's farewell tour in the NBA playing with the Washington Wizards. And it was a gesture orchestrated by Heat coach Pat Riley, who said after the jersey was revealed, "In honor of your greatness and for all you've done for the game of basketball, and not just the NBA, but for all the fans around the world, we want to honor you tonight and hang your jersey, number 23, from the rafters. No one will ever wear number 23 for the Miami Heat. You're the best." Nice gesture, but a bit unusual. Well, a lot unusual, considering that guy beat your team a number of times in his 15-year NBA career. And making it even a little more unusual, Jordan's 23 was the first number ever to be retired by the Heat. They would not retire a Miami Heat player's number until Alonzo Mourning's in 2009. In between Zoe's and MJ's number retirement, the Heat also retired Miami Dolphin Dan Marino's number 13. And time now for today's non-sports Did You Know? The sister city of Dull, Scotland is, appropriately enough, Boring, Oregon. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans.
We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You gotta go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.